Well, our scripture readings for the next little while will be a little bit different. We're not taking chapters or chunks of Galatians and working through them. That's maybe good news for us. We're just going to take a few of the big ideas of Galatians and just pick out the bits that we need Sunday by Sunday. To that end, today we're looking at three different verses, one in chapter 1, one in chapter 2, the last one in chapter 3. Those start in your Bible on page 1168. But they'll be on the screen for us as well. This is God's word. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and to the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Then Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And then lastly, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. Amen. We thank God for his word. When I was just a little toddler, I once followed my dad up a tall ladder. He was doing some kind of repair work on our bay window, and I climbed up onto the ledge after him. This was off the Lisburn Road where I was brought home from the hospital. I'd wandered out of the house, saw this strange-looking device, and climbed it. I followed him up this ladder. Now, that's fairly horrifying. The worst bit, though, was for one of our neighbors across the road. She watched the whole thing happening, but she couldn't shout out. Her greatest fear that if she called to my dad is that I would turn round and fall off the ladder. Can you picture it? Yeah. Well, the good news story is that I made it. There I was, all of a sudden, next to my dad and his toolbox on the roof of our bay window, and the rescue started from there. Paul sees the Galatians in trouble. They are heading for danger. And he calls out to them to rescue them from themselves and some dodgy types that have come into the church. And unlike my neighbor on the Windsor Road, he yells quickly and he yells loudly. Now that's worth keeping just in the back of your mind as we start this quick tour of Galatians in the weeks ahead. Today I want us to hear the big part of the rescue we need. It's Jesus, of course. You know that. There's no great surprise there. We talk about Jesus every week. But this little rocket of a letter is as specific as they come. What's the short version of the sermon this morning? Paul wants us to put Jesus at the center of our lives. But how do we do that? Well, Paul starts with grace and peace. You may have read enough New Testament letters by now to know that's pretty common. This is the way a lot of letters start off. But Paul isn't just saying hello. He's not just being friendly. He's immediately showing us the way to grace and peace because they have their source in Jesus and in God the Father. Look at how he slips very smoothly from announcing grace and peace to the roles and achievements of Jesus and the Lord God. He says to the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? There's a source of grace and peace. And then he explains how that happens. We've been rescued. You know, we could leave that there and stare at it for the next 20 minutes or so and get a lot out of it. You might sit and think about your sins and how they are rubbed out by Jesus. Maybe you look at that and you think, the will of God, that's an interesting idea. We could think about that for a while. I want you to think about the fact that you need a rescue from chaos to peace. There are so many people who live with chaos in their life. There's a pandemic of uncertainty in the world. Maybe work is constantly stressful and you have a hard time relaxing and recharging. That's a form of chaos. Some people live with emotional chaos, don't they? They shift from being way up to being way down, and they can't get any steadiness or rhythm to how they feel. That's chaos. There are people who don't know who or what they are. In fact, they never settle on being one thing or one person, and so they're always shifting around. That's chaos. That's also chaos for people around them, for others. That's a whole other bag of problems. The world is chaotic, and we are chaotic in it, and we need rescuing. So Paul says to us this morning, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that important? Because, he says it, we have been rescued from the present evil age. There's never been a rescue like this one. Jesus gives his whole life and his whole death to rescue us, to transfer us from chaos and evil to the peace of the next world. It says to the person stressed at work, you're not your job, but you're the son or daughter who's been brought home safe. It tells the person whose emotions are always getting away from them, come sit with me, be still. There are no problems too big, there are no worries too strong that I can't deal with them. This rescue saves people from confusion and the need to come up with their own identity. It says, I am in Christ and he is in me. More on that in a second. Maybe we're Christians this morning and we're thinking, we know this. It's great news. The rescue is sweet. There's peace in our lives since we became Christians, since we've heard about Jesus. We're looking forward to this peace of heaven. Well, you know, that's great, good for us. There's a wee rescue for us as well here. Because this rescue isn't just Jesus' idea. It's God's will. Keep reading. Grace and peace to you from God the Father, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God the Father. That will of God rescues us still from a passive Christianity. It reminds you and I that there's still a mission for us to be part of. God's will hasn't been completed yet. Just take a wee second, put that together for yourself. Rescued from chaos to peace. The war within us is over. The war with God is over. There's grace, there's peace from God through Jesus. What should we do when peace breaks out? You announce it. You take to the streets. You shout at the top of your lungs, war is over, and you dance with your neighbors. I know we're Presbyterians, but you might dance with your neighbors. Your friends, your family, your colleagues, they may have some of this chaos in their lives, and you have the news of peace. You've been rescued, and that's never a story we keep to ourselves. Remember, Paul wants us to put Jesus at the center of our lives. You also need a rescue from yourself. You know, I just hear myself say all of that, and I think, okay, good, you got through it. I hear that call to share the gospel with people, and I don't think I'm very good at it. I don't take enough risks for the gospel. I can talk myself out of talking about Jesus. I'll just be quiet. I'll just be polite. And that's how I know I still need a a rescue from myself. The way Paul says it to the Galatians is this: I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's a horrible verse. I don't like it. Do you know what crucifixion's like? It's literally excruciating. You heard that word? It's excruciating. Ex crucio. It's of the cross. That's what that word means. It's horrible. I don't want to be crucified, neither physically or spiritually or emotionally or any other way. And I'm not all the way sure that I really want to give up all of my ambitions in my life. We sang it earlier, Jesus, all for Jesus, all my ambitions, hopes, and plans. Do you know what? I don't like that song either. I have to sing that as a prayer because I know I don't live that way. It's not my reality. I have ambitions. I have hopes and desires that are completely selfish. And Paul says to me, you got to kill that painfully so that you no longer live. I need rescuing from myself. You do too. Paul tells us it's like a death blow. It's a painful thing to be pulled back from your natural instincts and pride. He's trying to express here, folks, how death has ended his relationship with the law. He would have spent years as a Pharisee chasing legal perfection through keeping the law. We do the same, don't we? We tell ourselves this even when we know about Jesus and we know about grace. We talk to ourselves all the time, if I can just be good enough, if I can just keep the rules enough, God will love me and he'll owe me my place in heaven. You ever thought that? And like Paul, we need that self-saving attitude to die. You know, you can end up married to a religious lifestyle, which is all about what we do, so that we end up being unfaithful to God's grace in Jesus, what he has done. And it's a bit like we say at weddings, don't we? It takes death to end the relationship, till death do us part. And there's no death like Jesus. So when we join in with Paul and we say, I've been crucified with Christ, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, we're declaring that Jesus' death has ended our relationship with the law, with being goody two-shoes. To say that you need rescued from yourself, folks, is to say that you need rescued from the idea that you can save yourself. If that were possible, I would tell you, but then we wouldn't need Jesus. We need a killing blow to our pride and our self-esteem. We need to take our own efforts out of the equation. We need to say, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. We're back to putting Jesus at the center of our lives. It's important when we're thinking about rescues that we do that in the right way. Rescues happen all the time. Sometimes they're a bit of a hassle, like little kids climbing ladders they shouldn't be. When we were on holiday, the kids did a high ropes course. There were jumps and zip lines and all sorts of cool stuff. And it was safe and it was lots of fun. But there were a couple of times during the day when people needed rescuing. They didn't quite make it. I've got pictures at home of kids stranded on these zip lines. The staff who were there, they had to climb and complete nearly the whole course before they got to the person who needed a rescue. It was that or they had a big stick. It was a real hassle. You could almost feel it when the next person needed rescued. Oh, here we go again. It was exasperating. You know, even professional rescuers become exasperated as well, having to rescue someone over and over and over again. Here's a guy called Stuart Hill. Stuart decided he would sail around England for charity, and he had to be rescued seven times. Seven. The Coast Guard were called 7 times to rescue him. Do you know, I came across this week and I thought, Stuart Hill is the perfect illustration for what we're talking about. Here's the horrible part of the story that I didn't tell you. He was doing this in a homemade boat. But he's the perfect illustration this morning. We're thinking about what? Getting into trouble in a boat of our own making and having to call the Coast Guard again and again and again. It's your living your life on your own terms, in your own way, and needing a rescue again and again and again. You and I would be so exasperated. When we talk about Jesus' rescue, it's not like this. It's not a hassle. He doesn't get exasperated because you need rescuing again. He rescues us because he loves us. The way Paul is talking about this is in the language of the bail bondsman. You're in the dock. You are guilty. You know you did it. And your bail is £1 million. Jesus pays it and brings you home. Or you're indentured to some kind of service and a benefactor buys you out of your contract and lets you go free. It's the family and friends who pay off the impossible mortgage so that you can live freely without the pressure of making it each month. That's the feeling we're going for here. Or as Paul would put it, we're loosed from the law. It has no claim on us because Jesus takes the curse and the punishment it carries. Here's the full sweep of what Paul's saying. All who rely on works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us, bought us out of the law and its curse by becoming a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who's hung on a pole or a tree. I can read that. You might think, oh, a lot there, a little bit confusing. It's really all that we've said this morning. You need a rescue from chaos to peace. You need a rescue from yourself, our performance-based Christianity. And that rescue didn't come cheap, but was driven by a love like you've never known. Folks, if you and I put Jesus at the center of our lives, we will be indebted to him. He gave himself for us so that we might give ourselves to him. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Why don't I pray for us? Father, we want to feel the relief of this good news, but we also need its challenge to be loved this much and rescued at such great cost cannot go unanswered. Perhaps this morning you would work these truths a little deeper into our hearts and minds, change us by them, help us to offer to others the grace and peace we enjoy. Father, kill our pride, humble us, and glorify Jesus for our friends and neighbors to see. Amen.